Well, good to see you. Got awful quiet in here, didn't it? We're going to be in Proverbs this morning. We are in the last 3 weeks of Proverbs, and three words have come to my mind that I want to just hit with you as we go, as we get ready to get back into just reading through Scripture and reading through, loving on some of these stories and enjoying what the Lord is doing in our life as we watch these people in Scripture live in the real world. The last 3 weeks of Proverbs, we're going to go through blessings, building, and beauty. And the concepts that we've talked about with all these Proverbs in the last several months, I mean, from January to now, we have basically been in Proverbs. We've been in and out for the holidays and a couple other things, but for the most part, we've talked through the Proverbs. We've read through them. The goal is not just to hear the wisdom, and the goal is not just to nod your head and think, yeah, that's a really wise thing to say. The goal is to actually apply that, okay, where you and I start to look at life that's really there. Okay, looking at a concept of life that's not real or not proper does us no good. A lofty thing that we can never see or never attain for ourselves or the world around us, it's silly to live there. It's silly to deal in that. But when you and I see the world as it is and we take God's wisdom and we start to navigate through it, man, the load gets less for us. And the amazing part is, as it lessens for us because the Lord is there and navigating and pushing us forward and doing the things that He promises to do, you and I are able to come alongside other people and lift some of their load too. To lift some of their burden, to love on them, to take care of them. Even this morning in the midst of these prayer requests, like there are some broken hearts here that need this, the love of companionship, the love of prayer, the love of time. And as we take these Proverbs and we start to apply them to our life, you know what? Mine gets less messy so that my time and my energy, by God's blessing, can be doled out to other people. Part of you and I dodging all these potholes is not just to be selfish with it, to get to the end of the marathon and think, hey, I did it with no scars. That's not the goal. The goal is, as you and I go, we're dodging these potholes, then we're teaching other people how to do it. And when they do land in one, you and I are there actually to help. We've got a little less burden. We've got a little more time. Honestly, if we're living in biblical wisdom, we've got more resources. We've got more wisdom. There's a lot of things here that you and I need to start applying to our life. The first piece is Proverbs and blessings. If the life of wickedness, like we talked about last week, is draining and emptying, okay, then the life of the wise or the righteous must be the opposite of that. The life we should live, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and you may scrape by miserably till you die. I've come that you may have life and you may have it in abundance. Now that command, that truth is one that is true whether or not your bank account is full or empty. Whether you have much time or little time, that promise is that you may have life in abundance. The wise, righteous life is a life of abundance. You and I should have an abundance of good relationships at a bare minimum. Because you know what unselfish people have in abundance? Somebody say good relationships. We should have good relationships in abundance. Our communication and access to the Lord should be awesome. Our prayer time, our time in the Word, looking forward in hope, looking back in gratitude, like all of these things are things you and I should have access to. And when you build them, when you put them all together in one person, it doesn't matter the scenario or the circumstances, they have life abundant. Jesus' promises are true. So if the life of the wicked is draining, and listen, as you and I look around, we see a lot of wicked people doing a lot of wicked things. Part of their curse, part of their punishment is the emptiness with which they live. Angry, looking for something new, looking for something more. Proverbs talking about rich people always looking over their shoulder. They don't even know if they can have a proper relationship because they're always worried somebody's trying to get something from them. Like, there are curses that come from that. When you and I see the highlight reel, we don't see the inner turmoil. It comes out later in the news when there's drug addiction or suicide or all these other things that are just running rampant. And you think, holy cow, it looked like they had everything together. The news reports of these athletes getting in trouble with the law and all this insanity. If the life of the wickedness is draining and emptying, then the life of the wise and the righteous must be fulfillment and goodness and glory. If the wicked strip and are stripped of all good things, then the life of the wise must be built and must be built up. My question to you is, but for what? Proverbs 31. Turn with me there this morning. We will probably be here a little bit in the next couple weeks. I just want to read it today, and I just want to make one point. When you and I read through Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, this is a lofty ideal. Okay? My question would be, and I would have you raise your hand, do you think you've attained it? Proverbs 31, most of you know what I'm talking about, right? The godly woman. And you would think, holy cow, that is a list. How many hours a day did she have? 28? Right? Because I'm only getting 24. It is a lofty ideal, but it is meant for you and I to understand there is a life of blessing that comes from seeking God and living in wisdom. That's what we're going to see. Proverbs 31, I want to start in verse 8 and read from there. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all that who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Speaking to the king, my son, what is going on? An oracle that his mother taught him. That's 31 verse 1. At the end of verse 8 and verse 9, she's talking to him and she's saying, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Part of the life of blessing is blessing other people that don't have what you have. Taking care of those that need what you have been blessed with. The life of God, I heard it once said, it's not a pond where the stuff flows in and that's where it ends. It's like a river, or you and I are conduit. It comes from Him to the world through us. His goodness, His grace, one of the greatest passages in the New Testament says you and I are partakers of grace, not just receivers of it, but you know what else? We are givers of it. We are blessers to those around us. At the bare minimum, the king with the opportunity is looking out for the well-being of everybody. Not just the rich, not just those that look like him, speak like him, talk like him, not just the cool kids, not just the ones that dress nice, not just anyone else. He is looking for the well-being. He's looking out for the well-being of everybody. That should be our life. You and I are loving and caring for people, and we are blessing them by looking out for their well-being. And just like kids don't understand what's good for them or bad for them yet, sometimes you and I deal with adults that don't deal, that they don't understand it either. So when you and I are loving them properly, what does it look like to them? Hatred? Anger? Like your kids, when they are 2, 3, 4, and 5, what do they think when you grab a hold of their arm and yank them when they don't understand the concept of a road and a vehicle? What do you think it means to your 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old when you say, no, you can't go and stay there with those people? I don't trust them. That's love. That's blessing someone that is not going to reciprocate. They're not going to be super excited about that. And you and I live in a world where that's constantly how we're interacting right now. They want to go headlong into the street and get run over. They want to go headlong into danger and then be upset when danger it comes to them. We have to love and care and bless in righteousness, in truth. Look at verse 10 with me. A woman who fears the Lord, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. I love those three verses. I get the opportunity to say them in marriage as we're going through that and we're doing that ceremony. And the last time I did it, I almost ruined a marriage by throwing up right in Hammock Hills, poor Sierra and Jarrett. I got sick the night before. I showed up the next day for that ceremony, and we were reading through this stuff, and I was looking at the potted plants to throw up in because I thought, it's getting ready to happen. I don't know what I had, but it was stout. I was sweating. I think one of them was like, are you okay? Yeah, I'll be fine in a minute. I got to get out of here, though. Forgot to tell everybody to sit down. Huh? Half, yeah, they got to stand up for half of the ceremony. We got to a breaking point, though, eventually. We made it. I mean, I love reading those verses. I love reading those verses. I love looking at the wife and saying, listen, for the rest of your husband's life, you will have more access to his heart than anybody else on the planet. You can do him good. You can build him up. You can encourage him. You can take care of him. Or you can crush him. You can tear him down. You can beat him up until he is a shell of himself. I don't say that in the wedding vows. But that's the opposite. If I can build up and I can love and I can encourage and I am accessible to him, right? Concept comes up in marriage, you know, it's not, she wasn't taken from his head to lord over him or from his feet that he were to lord over her, but she was taken from his side where she was to be loved and cared for and taken care of, but also there is access to the heart of the man there. It's close. This woman is a blesser of others. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done exceedingly, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Proverbs chapter 31 is one of the greatest pictures of a life of blessing you and I will read all throughout it. It is lofty, it is high, it is lifted up. And listen, the moment you and I think, I have achieved that, you know what that really says? We ain't reading it right. There's a lot there, and it's meant to be that way. Do you think you and I are actually going to arrive in this world, that we're going to be all that we need to be for everybody that needs it? The answer to that question is no. We're never going to be like Jesus. It's going to be impossible to reach this Proverbs 31, but man, we can strive every day to get closer. A little more prepared, a little more loving, a little more self-sacrificial. That's the goal. And in the midst of all those things, what you and I end up doing is we end up blessing other people. When we get to the phrase, or when we get to the word of building out of Proverbs, we're going to be back into this passage. So I want you to go now and just look with me at some of these other ones. There are bountiful blessings. Proverbs 3:27 says this, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it." You know what happens when you and I are living a life filled with blessings? When we're blessing other people, they're timely. They're timely. There's a moment that comes in the life of someone else, and you and I show up, and I think this is one of the most powerful things this world can offer you and I, is the opportunity for somebody to look at us and say, you were an answer to prayer. So when you and I are blessing other people, these blessings are timely. There is a moment they need to hit, and we need to be there and be a part of that, and the Lord will do that. I'm not saying it's every day He'll have somebody say that to you, but man, every couple months, couple times a year, if you're reaching out and loving on people, there's going to be somebody say, I don't know if I would have made it without you. I didn't know where this bill was going to get paid. I didn't know how I was going to get through this thing. I didn't know how I was going to deal with this anger, this frustration, this whatever, had it not been for you. Man, that is a powerful position to be in. When you and I live a life that blesses other people, you will be amazed at how many times it actually happens. But the culture you and I live in, tell us what? Me, me, me. Not only that, but get lonely. People are horrible. You need to stay away from them. Better off to be alone, by yourself. Veg out on this. Do this thing. All of these concepts, all of these things that are dividing, especially men and women, are demonic. The Lord made you and I to need each other, not just husband and wife, but people. And our whole culture is taking that idea and tearing it apart out of either selfishness or anger or frustration or irritation or hurt, whatever it is. But everything that pushes against God's design of both people and marriage needs to be shoved apart. You and I need to be fighting against it. There's a concept now, I guess, that's all over social media about the bear or the man. Like, would your daughter be more safe if she ran into a man in the woods or a bear in the woods? And I'm reading that and listening to that. And listen, I will not ever negate one bit of evil that has been done, ever. Sexual predators, the death penalty is there for a reason. That's Deuteronomy. It should be done more than it is. I will say that out loud, so I will start the concept there. But here's where I'm going to finish. Anything that drives men and women apart should be fought as demonic by you and I. I read a post yesterday about statistically speaking, women are far safer in the presence of a bear than they are a man. And I am thinking, now this person phrased it like a logical person, statistically speaking. I'm like, how many bears does the average woman run into on a daily basis? Because statistically speaking, you have to factor in some context. You have to factor it in. Are there wicked people? You better believe it. And our culture, instead of dealing with them and calling them out, our culture wants to sweep it under the rug or shove it aside or make it disappear or just let it go on, because there are some people in power, listen to me very carefully, that love it. They love the chaos. You want to know why? Because what do they grab while all the chaos is going on? Power. You think that's a pretty evil thing to say. I can't believe you would say it out loud. You better believe it. There are those in Charleston and those in D.C. that love the chaos. They love it. The Antichrist is going to love it too. Because when the world's on fire and he's going to step up and he's going to say, hey, I'm going to provide peace. The only thing I require is that you worship me. And most people will say, I'll do anything to have peace. I'll fall right in line. Listen to me, there are a lot of people out there, but this thing, anything that comes in that pushes against the design of God, that you and I are to be together and to be close and to be close-knit, is something you and I need to shove back on. I pray that my sons are safe. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's some women out there I hope they never get close to, because there are some bitter, wicked women, and that never gets talked about. In the last couple years of all the cultural stuff we've dealt with, there have been a lot of good men destroyed because people were lying about what was done to them. But you can't say that. You get in trouble. Somebody cancel you. The concept of the average man. There are 60 men. I bring my daughters here weekly. And there are dozens and dozens of men that they are around all the time. And you know what? I would trust so many of you all to even rear them as your own. I grieve for people that don't know that kind of safety. Their life is horrible and they're making it worse. They've been hurt, and so now they would rather hurt than get healing. Some of them posting this insanity does so having boys. Now, what do you tell your son? You're a wicked, vile thing. I had to chuckle at myself, though, because I was thinking, I'm like, I'm going to respond to this. And at the end, I was just going to say, if a majority of people were at the zoo and a female fell in with the bears, what would she be doing? Now, let me ask you something. What are the odds who or what kind of person would step in to help? Who's going to jump in the bear enclosure to help the woman out? A godly man? Probably. We are living in insane times.
Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. You know what happens when you and I live a life filled with blessing, where we are blessing other people? It is ever present. Your blessing is ever present. You say, what do you mean by that? Think about a grandparent that you love that was just a good, godly person. Every time you think about them, what happens in your life? Maybe it's a parent. What happens in your life? The burden's easier to carry, or are they harder to carry when you have just that thought? Man, I remember them. Boy, I miss them. Man, I love them. I love their peace. I love their joy. When you and I live a life of blessing, that blessing is ever present. It is always there, even after you and I are gone. Your children carry pieces of you. Your grandchildren will carry pieces of you. And you and I need to hand them good and godly things that a blessed life pours out. How about 10:6? Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. There is a crown on the head of those that live a life where blessing is what they want to do. It's like a crown on your head. The righteousness of God, the glory of God just resides there. And you and I have had those interactions with people. We know some of those interactions. We know them. And maybe we just never thought about it that way, but it's like a crown on their head. When somebody walks in that has loved you well and been there on repeat, and you look at that person, there is an elevation there. Dare we even say a glory. Man, I love them. Or just the gentle, I feel safer now. My burdens are going to get a little lighter. There's going to be some laughter and some joy come into the room. Do you understand how this works? That's because they live a life where blessing other people is their priority, not being blessed. Proverbs 10 says this, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. How about 10:22? The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You know what happens when you and I live a life where blessings just flow out of us? There is richness without corruption. Number one, it comes without compromise, so it doesn't corrupt your spirit. But number two, what you have comes without corruption. The money you have, when you and I have it and it doesn't have us, is without corruption. It's able to be given, to be loved on, to be invested in that kingdom. The other things that you and I, as we're pouring these things out, the world is always offering counterfeits. This is the world of sex and marriage. It is beauty and richness without corruption. But when we get outside of that, it corrupts everything else that's going on. It's harming your children's friends. It's harming the school system. It's harming all these things. It's harming even the concept earlier about this bears versus men thing. It's a piece of that. This sexual revolution continues to give us poison. Its fruit is continuing to bear out in other ways, and they just keep getting worse. Proverbs 10:22, the Lord gives his riches and his richness without corruption, without brokenheartedness, without the fear of what's to come the morning after, without any of that. How about 16:7? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You see, the blessings that you and I get to love, the life that we get to live, is all held under the sovereignty of God. Your Father loves you very much. Your Father is paying attention to you every day. Your Father knows what you need. And so as you and I are living this life, if you're Corrie Ten Boom and you're living in the middle of a Nazi concentration camp, these truths don't change. God's righteousness and his goodness and his sovereignty over our life is right there. When you walk out of the doctor and the news is harsh, the sovereignty of God is there. He is taking you into a place with him. A place that a million years from now, you and I will look back on and we will be glad we walked through that valley. Now that's hard. That is hard when you're living it. It's hard when you're in it. Friends, I would beg you to be reminded of all the times before your good and godly Father has showed up and taken care of you and provided your needs and answered your prayers. Because the enemy wants to rob you of that. He wants you to forget yesterday, last week, last year, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. He wants to remove all of that from your memory, because in order to get you worried and fearful now, he has to erase your past. Some of you need to remember the moment you were saved and what kind of mess you were in then. Because I promise you, no matter what happens to me the rest of my life, the worst, I was in the worst shape of my life the day before salvation. Amen. The day before Jesus called me home. The Savior showed up. The day before that, I was far from God, an enemy of God, destined for hell. Nothing the rest of my life will pour out will be worse than that. We need to remember those things. Proverbs 16:20, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Again, there's repetition here. It's repetitive. The blessing life is repetitive. You and I get to get up tomorrow and do the same thing, and the same thing, and the same thing. And I love this idea. You want to know why? Because your resource never dries up. As long as I have breath and I have time, my resource for what I need to do that day is there. It will not run dry. It will not run out. If it's money, it will be there. If it's time, it will be there. If it's an encouraging word, it will be there. Whatever I have to do that day, when I want to love and bless other people, the Lord is going to provide that need. Amen. It is repetitive. Every day. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I told you, this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's also one of the most terrifying, but the blessings of God are circular. As you and I yield, we start to give, we start to love, we start to care. And you and I would think that with all of this stuff going out, I would be tired or broke or frustrated. Lord, I want to love and I want to honor and I want to serve you. But you know what happens on the other end of that? There's always more. Let's do it again. That fount never runs dry. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. And then one day when we're done, he takes me home. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That don't make no sense. Little kid shows up, Jesus. We got a lot of people out in the middle of the desert. They're hot and hungry, probably getting hangry. Some of the disciples were probably like, man, these people are getting a little, we need to get them out of here. This is what I got. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5 crackers, 2 sardines. It's my lunch. And what does he do? Feeds probably more than 10,000. 5,000 men, their families. By the end of the day, everybody's full, everything's done, and they have seen something amazing. That should be my life and yours. By the end of the day, we're tired, ready to rest, and you look back and think, wow, Lord, you did some awesome stuff today. You love some hard people, or you love some people in some hard circumstances today. I was thankful to be there. Action shows your attitude. Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. Proverbs 21:13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. 22:9 says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 28:27, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. You know what else the blessing, that this kind of life or blessing is what we do, you know what it is? It's shareable. It's contagious. There are other people out there that need to see it in you, and then God will do the work in them too. It's like you and I are planting seeds. You live this way, and you live it in front of, I don't know how many people you can actually spend time with. I believe the number is about 50-ish. You're going to have about 50 people in your life that you can actually cultivate some relationships and stuff with and spend some time with, because you're just limited. But you know what happens when you and I love, if it's 5,000, it's 5,000. Just going out, people in the gas station, people in the grocery store, places that you frequent, your job, in the hospital, walking through rooms. When you and I are living this life with them, it's shareable, it's contagious. Other people will remember you, and the Holy Spirit in their life will use that memory to draw them to Christ, to draw them into what it is that they are missing. So often our selfish nature wants to talk about being blessed. But what happens when you and I are being blessed? I am blessed to do what? Hold it. Keep it. I am blessed to bless. I have been given to give. I have been loved on and cared for and forgiven so that I can do the same thing, to love, to care, and to forgive. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. The Lord has shown His grace on you and I. He has poured it out in abundance. We need to do the same for those around us. He is not running out of those things in our life, and because of that, you and I can rest assured He's not running out of that for the lives of other people through us. Jesus said, they'll know you love me by the way you love one another. How about Luke 12:48? Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand much more. Friends, these blessings that God has given us, we're going to be held accountable for them. Do you understand that? They are a stewardship. They are stewardship. The only thing that I have right now within me or on my person that's going to make it into the next kingdom is my soul and then what I did with the things God gave me. My wife is a stewardship. My children is a stewardship. This church is a stewardship. And Jesus is going to say, how did you do with my things? That's terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying. How did you do with my things? Those were mine. I gave them to you for a time, and now I'm calling you to give an account for how you cared for them, how you loved them. We have been given much, and there will be much required of us. But the one that does the requiring is also the one that does the equipping. So you and I can sit here and say, I am not capable of doing what the Lord is asking me to do. And Jesus would say, you're finally getting it. You're finally figuring it out. So you better come to the resource. Give me today my daily bread. Give me today my daily bread. When you and I roll out of bed, that's what we're doing. Lord, give me today my daily bread. Not just the things I physically need, but the things spiritually that I'm going to be called to do that I am not equipped to do. I am not patient enough, smart enough, wise enough, loving enough, forgiving enough to do these things that you're calling me to do to look like Jesus. If He's not going to help me do it, it is a really bad spot to be in. But if He requires certain things, but He equips us to do them, man, you and I just need to let go. We need to want to roll out of bed and say, make me a blessing. Not give me a blessing. Make me one, Lord. We live in a country that's filled with money and stuff and nice stuff and shiny stuff. And you know what people need more than that? They need some real people to show up. They need some real love and a handshake and a hug and somebody to show up on their front door and want to sit on their porch. And that's what they need. A lot of times the needs that you and I have to pour out are not financially anymore. A lot of times, and you and I know this, we know this very clear, is sometimes it's easier to give the money to do something than it is to actually show up and help. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's easier to do that. So the need then, a lot of times, is not the stuff. It's you. And man, you have been so equipped to be used in that area. So many of you here are wonderful, wonderful people. And you have been equipped to step into the lives of other people and be Jesus. You have been equipped to step into those lives and to bring light and salt and joy and peace. You look like your father. You look like your big brother. You are a life that was meant to bless. And Proverbs is all about that. Proverbs is you and I living this life, applying this wisdom so that we can be a blessing to other people. At a bare minimum, we can help them by saying, don't go that way. Don't do that thing. Your children, that's what you and I do all the time. They're going to make their own mistakes, but you're begging them, listen, don't go down this road. My oldest isn't even old enough to have a driver's license yet, and we're already talking about credit cards and money. And don't do that. Don't go that way. Be careful. Dodge that. Learn from me. Right? Let me show you the bills. Let me show you what this stuff looks like. Like, we're already there. So part of it is just being a blessing by helping them dodge those things. So he doesn't start off financially wrecked like me. I had to get married and start using all my wife's money to fix my own credit. This life of blessing. Get up in the morning and just pray it. I told you what my prayer is. Put me in the position that brings you the most glory. It's the only prayer I pray for my life. I don't pray for peace. I don't pray for wisdom anymore. I pray that prayer. Lord, put me in the position that brings you the most glory. If he answers one prayer, he does everything else. My recommendation for all of us is wake up out of bed, roll over and say, make me a blessing. That's it. Make me a blessing. And man, the Lord will do it. Why have you and I received all these wonderful things? What have you received? What have I received? Now what am I responsible to give? As they come this morning to play, I want to beg you, some of the things you are 100% responsible to forgive. Forgiveness. Why? Because I have been a lot. Okay? I have been forgiven something that was insurmountable. Now, forgiveness does a couple things. It opens the door to that relationship, but it also protects your heart. That's what forgiveness does. Whatever that thing was, you don't even need the other person to acknowledge they were wrong, to let go of whatever that is. And you take that thing that they don't want to be accountable for, and you put it on the cross of Jesus. You understand? And then you let go. You forgive. What else are you responsible to give? Patience. I can't say that out loud. Somebody's mad right now. They're texting me already. I can feel it vibrate. Why are you responsible to give patience? Has the Lord been patient with you? Some other people patient with you? Maybe when you didn't have all your stuff together? Huh? Maybe when you were a meandering teen? Maybe when you got a little older and made some mistakes? Was there people that were patient with you? You and I are required to give forgiveness. We're required to give patience to others. We are required to give love to others. You're required to give the truth to others. How about that one? You want to open the Word of God? You're going to come to this church? God help you. I hope you hear the truth every time you walk in the door. But because of that now, you are now accountable with what? The truth. You can't come here and just sit forever and not do anything with what's being told. You better have some earbuds in or some earmuffs on or something. It's going to eventually get really hard. There's going to be a grinding that comes from your spirit and the spirit of what is being taught at this church. So because we are teaching truth, you are required to give truth. Because you know the truth, you are required to tell the truth. And those are just some of the things you and I are required to give. Guess what? It's impossible to do it well. But you and I, as children of the Heavenly Father, made in His image, made now in His likeness, made in His image at birth, made in His likeness at second birth. You and I have the opportunity to live like Him, to love like Him, to be patient, kind, and forgiving like Him, to be salt and light like Him, sometimes to be hated like Him. It's the life we're living in a crazy world that we live in. Would you stand with me? If you need something this morning, you come.